You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Keschmas, joined by Jordan Bastian, and talking Tribe here in the dead of winter already in mid-November, and looking ahead to what this team might accomplish here this winter. Obviously, nobody expects them to be major players in free agency at this point. Pretty stable roster-wise, done extensions with multiple guys, Terry Francona included. But it will be interesting to see how the trade market shakes out. And but going back in time, one guy they acquired in the trade market long ago turned out to be a Cy Young winner for him. Corey Kluber wins a close vote over Felix Hernandez. And Jordan, I don't know about you, but I was pleasantly surprised that it came out that way. I thought that as close as the numbers were, I thought there were good arguments for Kluber. I thought he'd also be overshadowed just as a product of, A, not being as big of a name as King Felix. And also, I think there's a gravitation towards ERA where Felix had the edge. But how about you? Were you surprised by this one?
You know, I was pleasantly surprised. I think when you're in a certain market, like you and I are close to Cleveland here, you know, we're very aware of the type of season he was having, but you start to wonder, you know, especially when it's a team that's not, you know, on the forefront of contention, you know, how much national attention he was getting. So I think there was still that in the back of your mind of, okay, at the end of the day, the voters can look at the numbers and it could be really close, but maybe they've seen Felix more nationally. Maybe Felix's name jumps out. Maybe that, you know, some of those late season scoring changes that led to him getting the ERA title, maybe that's in their mind when they just look at the ERA column. So, yeah, you're right. I think I was surprised, but I thought it was well-deserved for Kluber. It was so close, as we've talked about many times, that you almost tried to come up with some tiebreakers, and you could see the way the voting broke down. I mean, it was pretty close, and you could tell that it looked like a coin flip for a lot of people, and ends up going Kluber's way, and then in pure baseball fashion, Felix finished just ahead of him in the MVP voting. So, you know, I think that just kind of showed, you know, how close of a race this was, but well deserved for Kluber, and it's nice that for the Indians to kind of get some organizational attention for Kluber, who was an unheralded acquisition, and, you know, for Michael Brantley in the MVP race, for, you know, one of those big trades that the ownership always gets lambasted about by the fans. And, you know, so it's kind of a good time for the Indians in terms of their young core guys, and, you know, it's setting up here where the next couple of years could be pretty exciting, you know, regardless of whether or not they go get a big impact bat or anything this winter.
Yeah, it was funny to see Felix ahead of Kluber there in MVP. And then for those who don't know, that's a different subset of voters within the Baseball Writers Association, different groups voting different awards. Just goes to show, if it had been a different group in the Cy Young, it might have been a different result. But in my opinion, the right guy won. And Kluber's a good example of the patience sometimes you have to have with young or even not so young pitchers sometimes. A guy who really changed his repertoire in the last couple of years. Jordan, for those who didn't see it, Jordan wrote a great story about Kluber's roots and how the Padres wound up with him in the first place, and talked to Bill Gaten, the guy who initially signed him out of college over there at Melching Field down in Florida, Stetson University, where actually, it's interesting because Jacob deGrom also went there, the NL Rookie of the Year winner this year. So both those guys have autographed their old lockers there in the ballpark there. It's pretty cool. But, you know, looking ahead here now, to me, the big question with Kluber, I mentioned already, the stability of this roster. Now, they have that stability inherently with Kluber because they have 4 years of control of him. He's 29 next season, so that sets up well for them to control him for his prime years no matter what. But knowing how this organization operates, it does beg the question of whether an extension might be on the horizon, or at least extension talks. So I'm sure they'll discuss it at least. Because there is something to be said for some cost certainty there through his arbitration years. And I'm sure for Kluber there would be something to be said for some financial security looking ahead here. There's a guy who probably otherwise will make less than $600,000 next year coming off the Cy Young season. So, Jordan, what's your read on that whole possibility of an extension, again, knowing where this organization tends to trend in that department?
Well, I mean, they have such a trend towards trying to lock up those guys, but it's been leaning more towards position players in recent years, and I think there's just a lot more inherent risk with arms, and especially an arm that, You know, he's had one good year and one outstanding year, but he's still relatively young in terms of his major league experience. So I think you'd like to see him at least put together, you know, a great first half next year, maybe a great full season. But, you know, if I were running things before locking him up, because, I mean, there's his advanced age. It's really unique in terms of his age and his service time. And when you go back and you try and find, you know, something to compare to in terms of establishing kind of a base for contract talks, it's tough because you look at guys like Chris Sale or pitcher down in Atlanta, Julio Teheran, you know, the extensions they did, they were so young when they signed those long-term deals. And Kluber, you know, at the time he could hit free agency, I think he would be around his age 33 season. So it's a little bit different situation. His age really probably wouldn't come into too much of a in play in terms of talking about the arbitration years. Once you start hitting, trying to buy out a free agent year or two, you know, you're looking at where that age comes into play and how that might factor in. So I think they'll explore it this winter. You know, you might think of a 4 or 5 year deal would maybe get it done, put a club option or two on there. But it's going to be an interesting situation just because of the unique nature of both his development and his rapid success in the majors, but also the fact that, you know, this isn't a young prospect we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you know, one way or another, their rotation is locked in for next year and for several years down the road, which is nice. But that doesn't preclude them, obviously, from augmenting that a little bit. We talked about that before, maybe looking for a veteran option. We talked about Justin Masterson, I believe, on the last podcast. And since that time, it's been become clear, and not surprisingly so, that he's going to have a nice little market. You know, probably a one-year deal, maybe 1 year with an option, but, you know, there's always going to be teams hungry for that bargain, and he strikes me and a lot of people as, you know, one of the better bargain buys on this market, just given what he's done in the past and, you know, possibility for a bounce back on a low-cost contract. But, you know, from the Indians' perspective, as that gets competitive, I'd say that's probably less likely. That's just my guess, and I'm sure the Indians in the back of their minds have to say, well, you know, if Mickey Callaway can't fix you, you know, maybe you're unfixable, at least from our perspective, from the Indians' perspective. I don't know. What's your read on the Masterson front at this point here, JB?
Yeah, they've definitely checked in. They've requested medicals because, you know, a lot's come out about all the injury issues that he dealt with last year. He was dealing with the oblique, after effects of the oblique issue during spring training still, but, you know, from what his agent told me, you know, Francona, you know, named him the opening day starter, and they were in the midst of contract talks, and he was trying to be that leader and lead by example, and, you know, he was dealing with some scar tissue issues that, you know, just didn't bring to the forefront, didn't bring the team's attention. You know, it really wasn't something that was known even by people in his camp till later in the year. So I think that shed some light into delivery flaws. You know, he's trying to overcompensate. That leads to inflammation in the knee, and then that leads to some shoulder issues late in the year, which they got ironed out when they found an impingement and gave him a court shot and all that stuff. But, you know, from what I understand, there's been about a dozen teams that have already, in the early stages, checked in, requested medicals, and the Indians are one of them. I don't really see Cleveland as a fit. I think it's a due diligence thing. I think it's, you know, you show the guy the respect of, you know, that long history and that rapport, and, you know, you reach out and see what the interest is on his end. But when you got a market for, you know, a guy who still had a good strikeout rate and a very strong ground ball rate, you know, you might find a team that's willing to roll the dice on a 2-year contract or 1 year with some options or things or incentives and things like that. I mean, you look at what the contract that Kazmir got a couple of years ago. Granted, he was coming off a strong year with the Indians, but the year before that, he was out of baseball entirely. So, you know, you never know. There's always going to be that team that can roll the dice, and I don't think the Indians are going to be that team if you start looking at something beyond a 1 year low base contract.
Yeah. What do you hear about Sean Markham, a guy they signed before last year as a, you know, minor league deal and hoping he could right himself physically and be a veteran option for them in the rotation? They've invited him back again this year after he was shut down in 2014 with more shoulder issues. So, I mean, he could just be a guy who's a lost cause at this point, but obviously the Indians are still invested enough in him to give him a look in spring training.
Yeah, the thing I found really interesting about Sean when I talked to him during the spring was he said one of the driving forces for him signing with Cleveland was the reputation that the Indians medical staff has gained around baseball for rehabbing players and getting them back to full strength. So when he was looking at teams a year ago, he actually requested information on the Indians medical staff and kind of wanted to find out guys who had been hurt in the past who had rehabbed with Cleveland, kind of what the success rate was and things like that. So, you know, obviously he hit a snag. You know, we all kind of thought he was going to be a long, you know, kind of a dark horse, long shot candidate for the rotation last year. And he was really slow out of the gates and obviously slow coming back from his surgery the previous July, which he was dealing with something called thoracic outlet syndrome, which is affecting his right shoulder and his arm, numbness in his hand. There was all kinds of issues. And he just was a really gradual process to get back to the mound and into games. So I think what's interesting about him re-signing is I think it kind of looks like, I mean, it's a show of appreciation for them, you know, being patient with him, giving him the chance to rehab. And now you've had a full year to rehab and recover, get back on the mound, another off season, and now he still kind of exists as an intriguing depth option. This guy pitched in the rigors of the AL East when, you know, maybe you could argue it was a little more competitive than it is right now when he was with the Blue Jays. So it's an interesting guy with experience and success in a tough environment. And so to have him on the depth chart, I mean, it doesn't hurt anything. I wouldn't pencil him into the rotation or even into the top seven or eight spots right now, but it's a guy that you look at in spring, see what you have, and, you know, maybe he gives you an option this year if injuries come up or anything like that.
Yeah, we've seen that before with the Tribe and other teams. Sometimes you just strike gold in that injury-impacted veteran market. But one last thing, JB, a guy who's potentially of interest for 2015, Giovanni Urshela, just knowing, you know, Lonnie Chisenhall's had his inconsistencies, obviously, at the plate and defensively as well. Urshela is a really strong defender at third, so he's a guy who's attractive just from that standpoint. We suffered a knee injury in the Venezuelan Winter League. What's the latest on that?
You know, the last I heard was he underwent an MRI in Venezuela, and the Indians wanted to follow up on the results. There are some reports that it could be something that sidelines him for a bit, but the Indians haven't come out with the information confirming any of that yet. But, you know, if this is something that sidelines him for a substantial amount of time, you know, that's a big blow to the Indians' organizational depth for the reasons that you just stated. I mean, they obviously have Lonnie Chisenhall at third base, and they liked what he did offensively, but there was still, you know, room for improvement, to say the least, defensively last year at third base. And so it was nice to have this emerging offensive talent who already was a plus defender in Giovanni Urshela down there. So, you know, if that's a big injury for him, then that's a tough blow to the depth chart. But, you know, he's made a lot of progress over the last couple of years, and I think he'll still be on the club's radar for 2015, whether it's during the season or later in the year. You know, regardless, I think this is a kid that's firmly put himself on the radar for the future.
Yeah, and then, like I said, he's a person of interest, I guess, because obviously the Indians, you know, one priority for this winter, even if it's just on a marginal level, is to improve defensively, and even if that has to come internally, improve defensively for next season. But, hey, if Corey Kluber can win a Cy Young with that defense last year, I guess anything's possible. But I want to thank Jordan Bastian for joining us. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I'm Anthony Cashman. This has been MLB.com Extras.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.